You thought the rapture took place? Well, somebody praise the Lord in this place. Oh, come on. I want you to shout like you sung a while ago. Give the Lord an applause of appreciation today. Woo! Man, Josh and the Holy Ghost Traveling Band did a wonderful job today. Hey, let's praise the Lord for this wonderful job that they did, this worship team. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm here. I finally made it. And my wife always says to me, all these years, she says, now remember, first impressions are important. I, for 47 years, have ruined that statement. So this is me, and I've got my Hawaiian shirt. Yeah. And here's my twin brother. My twin brother's over here, right here. Right. We got this. Come on, stand up with me, man. We got our shirts at Macy's. I can't lie. We got it at a place called Wally World. And Sister Debbie demanded that I wear this Hawaiian shirt. So I wanted to make sure y'all didn't think I was Don Ho. And I promise you, I'm not going to sing Tiny Bubbles. Well, I finally made it. I tell you, Pastor got a hold of me at the first of the year. And man, I tell you what, I have been excited. And you know, I told him that for some reason this year, the Lord has been waking me up at 4 o'clock and talking to me and giving me messages. And I've been praying at 4 o'clock. I told the Lord the other day, I said, you know, I really think I can hear you at 4 p.m. But he said, no, you don't. But I told him that I've been getting up early, and the Lord had been speaking to me and giving me all kind of messages to preach. And so when he contacted me at the first of the year, I was excited about an Assembly of God pastor who was that much concerned about his people being filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't shout me down now. So I've been excited about that, coexisting with him and networking together with him about this weekend. And so I finally made it. And I know you're checking me out. I'm 6'4". No, I'm 5'6". And I've lost 40 pounds. And so we was having a little bit of a problem yesterday trying to find my size, because I've gone from a double X to now a large. Well, I wasn't looking for an applause, but it is a great accomplishment, I can tell you that. But anyway, this is the one that that my brother and I decided on today. So I'm glad to be here on Don Ho Day. I mean, on Honolulu Day. I know one thing, we're going to have dinner on the carpet. And that's my kind of dinner. Hallelujah. We praise the Lord. Hey, we get to be back tonight. Did y'all hear me? It got silent over here. Looks like I'm going to be preaching to this side today. But we get to come back tonight. Aren't you glad we still have the political privilege to be able to come to church? Amen. I like this church already. I want to tell you why. You have stayed open for business. And not only do we have the privilege to be back tonight, we get to be back tomorrow night. So I've got three strikes, okay? I got one strike today, one strike tonight, and then hopefully I don't strike out tomorrow. But I don't want to say these strong words and say, I hope you have your priorities right. But I hope you've made plans to be a part of this revival this weekend. And I do believe, Pastor, that I'm here on a mission. And I like those type of revivals. So thank you so very much. Thank you so very much for your investments into this ministry. We count ourselves as missionaries to America. And your giving today and tonight or tomorrow, you may just be giving one time, I don't know. But you have given to a ministry that we feel like we are missionaries to America. And I'm sure you've probably looked lately, America needs Jesus today. And we are seeing revival. We are seeing people saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. And people are being revived, want to be revived. And so thank you so much for investing to this ministry. Kathy and I have been married 51 years, and we've been in the ministry 47 years. I know you're applauding for her because she's endured this long. But she does say Christian greetings, and she's home. And the hurricane's fixing to be on the west side of Houston, come through the west side of Houston, but we're on the northeast side, and this is not our first rodeo. We've been through three other hurricanes, and this is kind of no hurricane is minor, okay? Trust me, they're not, but she's going to be okay. And besides that, I've got an evangelist friend of mine that lives right down the road, and he's got a Generac, so if she runs out of electricity, she'll run down there. So anyway, praise the Lord. Be back tonight, all right? All right, how many got your Bibles with you today? I'd like for you to go with me, first of all, to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 39. I told Pastor that, and by the way, I leaned over to him a while ago. I said, man, this bunch knows how to sing. Y'all sing. Y'all sounded good. Y'all sounded better than the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. Yeah. But I want to go to Isaiah chapter 39 this morning. And I feel like, I believe today that I'm on a mission here today, here at Calvary. And revive some things. And remember this, revival, there's a reason why we need revival. There's a purpose why we need revival. I know there's some people who, I guess, with a self-righteous spirit about themselves, they say, well, I'll stay in revival. Okay. But we need revival for no other reason than that revival reminds us of who we are, what we are, and what we must be now, okay? And Calvary's situation, I want to revive some things in my life, in your life, in this church's life. And I want to remind us of who we are as an Assemblies of God church today. And then I want to remind us of what we got to be and must be in the 21st century or in this day and time that we're living in. Jesus has been building a perilous times church in America for 248 years. Did you know that? And for sure, he has built a Pentecostal church in America for 248 years. And this is the type of church you have been. And I believe we should continue to be what God calls us to be. I don't believe this is the day and time that we need to back up or back down. In fact, I believe it's the time for us to step up to the plate and be the church, the Pentecostal church that God has developed right here in this community for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want us to keep in mind that we are in perilous times. We know that. In fact, we are now beyond, we're in overtime concerning perilous times concerning America today. And so let's go to Isaiah chapter 39. I want to begin reading verse number 1. At that time, now I'm from Louisiana, and I'm a Cajun, and I'm going to attempt to pronounce this word. Has anybody ever been to Louisiana? All right, so y'all probably know about the word, the name Boudreaux, right? Babineau, Fontenot, Thibodeau. That's what I want to call this guy, okay? But I'm gonna take a stab at it. At that time, Barak Doc Baladan. That's close enough. The son of Baladan, the king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Ezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and was recovered. You know, it's a great day when a heathen king heard a miracle. It's a great day when heathens hear about people getting healed. He said, for he had heard that he had been sick and was recovered. And Ezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Ezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Ezekiah and said unto him, what said these men? What did you say to them? And from whence came they unto thee? What did you show them? Ezekiah said, they are come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. Then said he, what have they seen in thy house? And Ezekiah answered, all that is in my house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. Then said Isaiah to Ezekiah, he's getting a little upset about this now. Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thy house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. It was good for him to show the house, but the indictment of this story was that Ezekiah had showed him the silver, the gold, the vessels, the materialistic things of that house, but he failed to tell the miracle of what had happened to his life. Lift your hands with me just for a moment right now. Let's ask the Lord to anoint this revival and anoint my lips of clay. Father, we praise you today for the privilege to be in the house of the living God. In the next few moments, Father, would you walk the aisles of Calvary Assembly? Would you not only revive us, but refill us, God, and rejuvenate us as a Pentecostal church? Lord, have your will to be done and anoint our ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church in the year of 2024. We'll ask you this in the wonderful, majestic name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. I want to title my message this morning, The Best is Yet to Come. I want to talk to Calvary Assembly today, and I believe this. I really believe this, that if Jesus tarries, the best is yet to come to Calvary Assembly of God Church. So I want to mention here today, and I want to set some markers out and remind us of some things that has taken place in this church in the past, and by the way, is still happening today and is going to happen tomorrow. But I want to mention some qualities of God that he has placed inside this church and he has developed inside this church. pastor told me that this church is approximately, our Assembly of God, approximately 62 years old. You know, I have always been concerned about our heritage. I've always been concerned about the next generation receiving and having a desire to have what this generation has already experienced. I can promise you this, that this church was built on Christian legacy and Christian principles and true Christian traditions of God and not from man. You and I have been called to stand fast, to hold on to good traditions. I know there's some bad traditions, but I've got to tell us today that there is still some powerful good traditions that you and I need to stand for in the year of 2024. Your destiny, by attending this church, by attending this Pentecostal powerful church, your destiny is not destruction. Your destiny is not disaster. Your destiny is not defeat. It is not distraction. It is not discouragement, but it is in a deliverance power. You are not only attending just any type of church. You are attending a church that still believes that God can do anything. You are attending a church that still attends a church that God, we worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Somebody shout with me today. Thank God we know the true God today. So the real question that maybe you're asking today what has been in this church in the past that we must transfer into the future? You know, the best legacy is not what we leave or tell just the next generation, but the supreme legacy is what we place inside the next generation. We cannot afford to tell the next generation about another Jesus. We must tell that next generation that it is still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It is still Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that they must too be born again, and they have the privilege to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And that's exactly what we're going to do this weekend. So if you're jotting down notes, the first thing that I want to talk about is that we will continue to remember. And you're probably saying, remember who and what? Listen, those who drink from the wells today, and we are drinking from the wells today. Those who drink from the wells today never forget those that dug the wells of yesterday. And now, Pastor Rick and I and other pastors and evangelists, we find ourselves depending and defending a legacy and living out a tradition of explosive faith. Listen, our past experiences with the original Jesus is still, it is not old-fashioned, it is not old-school, it is not outdated. In fact, his promises are renewed daily, and you and I will continue to follow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Somebody shout hallelujah with me today. His promises are renewed daily. Secondly, if you're taking notes, I got 25 notes here. 25, no, I'm just kidding. My second point is this. This church has never deleted true words preached in the pulpits of yesterday, but has chosen to live out and proclaim the true words of this Bible. Pastor Rick has not diluted the Word of God. He has not diluted his sermons. Somebody ought to shout praise the Lord. He will continue to preach the true Word of God. Your pastor will continue to be a Pentecostal apologist, guarding the benefits of an empty tomb and revealing the mysteries of heaven in his ministry. This church has
and will never bow to the mood of the masses, but will continue to be a lighthouse to a community that is still in a miracle, and also continue to believe in a miracle of Calvary's cross. Listen to me. Pentecostal fire never fell on blemished sacrifices. Pentecostal fire fell on unblemished sacrifices. Thirdly, your pastor and this church and this leadership will continue to preach heaven's correctness of truth and not a political correctness of fake news. This church will not preach woke news. This church will not preach false news. This church will not preach political lies. We do not march under a crescent moon banner today. We march under Calvary's banner. Somebody shout praise the Lord. The church's anointing. Listen, the church anointing will only be as powerful by way of the words that are anointed and preached in this pulpit. Give me a Church of Christ amen or something. But my notes said, if they don't shout, turn the page. Well, okay. I'm going to go on. It's going to get lighter. The church's anointing, I want you to listen to this, will only be as powerful by way of the words that is anointed and preached in this pulpit. In other words, the more you attend this church and hear the words of Pastor Rick, the greater the anointing you will exercise and experience outside the walls of this church. Let me put it to you this way. The more you read this Bible, the greater your anointing will be. Because we preach the full gospel. The fourth of 25 points. This church is more than a church with charisma or just being charismatic. It is more than just being emotional. It is more than just being carnal or even enthusiastic. This church is more than that. This church is Pentecostal in experience. This Pentecost is not a denomination. It is an actual experience that every born-again believer has the privilege and blessing to seek and to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, a supernatural power. This church is Pentecostal experience empowered by the anointing of a double portion, supernatural power to overcome. It's for us. It's for our behalf. It helps us. So you have no reason to be afraid of Pentecost. And the tongue talker said, amen. You have no reason to be afraid of this wonderful gift that God says, not the assemblies of God, but the God of the assembly said, we can have this wonderful gift. Don't shout me down now. This church is Pentecostal experience empowered by the anointing of the double portion to overcome. Listen. I'm going to give you a personal experience just for a moment. I, when
I have never preached my testimony. I need to come back and preach that, but I'm putting the cart before the car, the horse before the cart. I mean, the cart before the horse. Something like that. They say that in Texas. When Kath and I got saved, we were not raised in a Pentecostal home. We weren't even raised in a Protestant home. In case you ain't figured out, we was raised in Catholicism. So the church that I got invited to go to on a Wednesday night, by the way, do y'all have church here on Wednesday nights? By the way, I wanted to remind some of you that they have church here on Wednesday nights. Where are you at, Josh? I need a little organ playing over here. This ain't my first rodeo. But we were invited to go to church on a Wednesday night. Wednesday night. And it's a long story. I'll tell you about it later. But it was a church, a little church. It was smaller than this church. Way smaller than this church. They ran 180 on Sunday mornings, and they only seated about 125. I mean, they were shoulder to shoulder. It looked like a sardine assembly. And they had 85 people on that Wednesday night. And they were all walks of life. Yeah, well, what do you mean by that? They had the senior citizens there. And they also had the yuppies there. And they had the teenagers there and the teenagers there and the, I'm not going to say old-agers. And I look back at that, they sung just like y'all did today. And I wasn't raised in that, and them people were raising their hands and praising the Lord. I mean, I'd been a lot of places, you know. I'd been to Walmart, I'd been in a duck blind, and but I'd never seen anything like it in my life. Them people looked like the happy face church. They were all smiling. And I look back at that. Of course, Kathy and I was the only two. We were two visitors, okay? I mean, I looked like Charles Manson. I had long hair down to my shoulders. And I borrowed the jacket. And it was during the Beatle era. And I had the turtleneck on, you know. And Kathy borrowed the dress from our fourth sister-in-law. And she only has one brother, by the way. At that time, he'd been married four times. And well, since then, he's been married longer than Elizabeth Taylor, I think eight times. But she borrowed the dress. And she just, you know, don't get mad at me. I mean, she just thought that, hey, we're going to church. We hadn't been to church in 5 years, okay? And she just thought that she had to borrow a dress. Of course, she didn't have any dresses. I mean, it was, you know, it was those hot pants or something like that. But so she borrowed a dress to go to church, and so we walked in there, and they knew we were visitors. I mean, she looked like Marilyn Monroe, and I looked like Charles Manson. And but you know what? I look back at that, and they didn't hold back on their worship, Brother Josh. I think they ratcheted up a little bit. We got two visitors here, and they got crazy. Well, listen, I told Brother Rick, I said, because he got to telling me about all y'all's activities y'all been doing. I said, it sounds like y'all are part of my list of crazy good churches. And I sensed that. Well, they were a crazy good church. I mean, they were having fun in church. And I look back at that. Listen, this is not the day and time to hold back in our worship. John said we must worship in spirit and in truth. Now that word spirit, that doesn't mean that, well, you preacher, you want us to be emotional all the time. No. But three times a week won't hurt you being emotional about Jesus. Am I right? Give me a Church of Christ amen in the middle here. Yeah, they were praising and they were glad to be in church. Oh, they were having so much fun. And so I call them the happy face. But anyway, that was the night I got saved. I got saved on a Wednesday night, Pastor. Hey, buddy, that's rare. Huh? That's rare. Anybody gets saved on a Wednesday night. So anyway, I got saved, and we didn't know they were Pentecostal. I knew they lifted their hands up and praised the Lord, and then I began to hear a few people pray in a different language, you know, and I told my pastor, I said, hey, these are some highly educated folks. He said, what are you talking about? And we had a bunch of people that were educated, had degrees at University of Houston and Rice University and blah, blah, blah. And they were supervisors and big wigs and no. But I told him, I said, boy, we got some educated folks here. He said, why do you say that? I said, because when I was getting those altars, I'd hear them people pray in a different language. Now, I knew a little Louisiana French. You know, I knew the Cajun French. He said, well, we're Pentecostal. I said, what? I said, no, we ain't Pentecostal. You're Pentecostal? He said, yeah. And you know what? It didn't hurt. It didn't scare me. I'll tell you what happened. I gained a desire to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because my high school hangout, I'm getting off the script here now. My high school hangout was Tony's Pizza in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Anybody ever been to Lake Charles, Louisiana? I hope you weren't in Fort Polk. He was in Fort Polk. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Anyway, every night at Tony's Pizza, we were probably the first generation to have tailgate parties. And we'd be out there on that parking lot Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. And we'd sit out there on those tailgates, and we did not have Diet Dr. Pepper in those paper cups, okay? I think most of the time it was Boone's Farm. But I remember a group that would show up, and sometimes they would show up every night. And I thought, my goodness, who are those people? And I look back now, it must have been a backslider. He must have been a Pentecostal backslider, because he said, oh, they're UPCs. They're full of the devil. And I look back now, how did he know that? I mean, what made him think that, you know? I want to tell you something. The devil don't want no part of Pentecost. Yeah, kind of reminds me of the two drunk cowboys who stumbled into a Pentecostal church, and they're sitting back there in the $3 section, and the preacher's preaching on the Holy Ghost, and one of them said, hey, he's preaching on tongues, and the other one looked at him and said, yeah, he said, he's full of the devil, and the other one said, well, if it's of the devil, then you and I should already have it. I want to tell you, the Pentecostal message is not from the devil. It's from God himself. And so I eventually got the Holy Ghost. Kathy got the Holy Ghost before me. And what I'm saying is today, what I'm trying to say today is that the promise is for everyone, even those that are far off in the year of 2024. But listen, here's what I want to say this. I didn't need the Holy Ghost for charisma. I already had charisma. I mean, look at me. I'm a type A individual. I'm a former athlete, okay? I played baseball. Played basketball. I lettered and bat. Don't you think this little squatty body can't put the rock in the box? So I had charisma, okay. But you and I, we don't just need charisma. I didn't need charisma. I needed Christ-like character. And that's what this baptism of the Holy Ghost will help you have a desire to live Christ-like character. It's for us today. I don't need to go any further. Let's just praise the Lord right now. Father, we praise you today for the privilege to be in this wonderful, wonderful, powerful Pentecostal church. today in Wilson, Wisconsin today. Thank you, Lord, for this crowd. Thank you, Lord, for this congregation that has been so faithful to come to the house of God today. And Lord, we would been praying and fasting that you would meet every need of this church today. I really believe the best is yet to come, and that you are answering Pastor Rick's prayers. And I pray today, God, that this evangelist would reap his prayers today by anointing every vessel that has a desire to hunger and thirst after righteousness. While every head is bowed, every eye closed, just for a moment, first of all, here today. I believe any message that we preach in our pulpits, it gives an open opportunity for everyone, the whosoever will, can be saved under the blood of Jesus. And maybe you have walked into Calvary Assembly today, and maybe you're not right. Maybe you've been drifting. Maybe now you're on the outside looking in, when you used to be on the inside looking out. Maybe you're here today and you're walking a perimeter relationship with Jesus. And the Holy Ghost has led you to be here today for a reason, I believe. And I believe that reason is to recommit your life. Recommit your life to Jesus Christ. And I know there's many probably here today that you need a refilling of the Holy Ghost. You need to be rejuvenated. Because we have a job to do. In fact, the number one occupation of the New Testament church is that we shall be witnesses. America needs witnesses. America needs witnesses with a testimony. Our world, our nation needs Jesus so bad. So while every head is bowed, every eye closed, I want to ask this question today. If you're here today and maybe you've been asking the question, well, what must I do to be saved? Well, I'll just tell you what I had to do and everybody else. I had to realize that I was a sinner, because I didn't know I was. I didn't know you had to be saved to go to heaven. I didn't know you had to be born again. I didn't know you had to repent and accept Jesus Christ. But you're here today and you're saying, what must I do? Well, first of all, you got to realize you're a sinner in need of a Savior. We present to you today Jesus. We do not present to you a membership card or a member of the Calvary Assembly or a water baptismal certificate or even a water baptismal event. We present to you Jesus. If you're here today and there's a question mark in your soul concerning eternity, you'd say, preacher, I can't leave here like I came. I must leave here knowing Jesus in my life. Lift your hand up right now. Just lift it up. I'll pray for you here in a minute. Amen. Just God's giving you another chance. There will be a day when he will no longer deal with people. But I don't want that to happen today. Anybody here today in need of a Savior? All right, I'll not beg you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Is there a second person here today? Try Jesus. Amen. There's two. Praise the Lord. Come on, church. Pray with me right now. Amen. I believe there's some more here today. Who'll be the third person that'll say, preacher, I got to make sure I'm right with Jesus today. Notice I said Jesus. You got to be right with Jesus, folks. Anybody else here today? I wonder if there's somebody here. How many here today would say, Brother Vincent, I've been walking with the Lord, but it's been rough. I need a fresh touch. I need a fresh touch of heaven in my life. How many would raise your hand? Let me know who you are right here, right now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hands all over the congregation. Amen. I want to tell you, I got my hand up. I want to tell you right now, I'll be serving Jesus 49 years next month. And I can tell you right now, I need more of Jesus today than I've ever needed him. I need him to touch me every day of my life. Amen. We don't have to leave here like we came. But if you need a touch of heaven in your life, and especially the two people that raised their hand, I want you to stand up. I just want you to stand up right there where you're at. Just stand up. Stand up if you need a touch of God in your life right there. Amen. There's about 10 of 12, 15 of you. Raise your hand for a touch. Stand up right there. Stand up. Amen. I want you to be, if you want to be touched by Jesus, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We're not going to leave here like we came today. Praise the Lord for that. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know how I'm going to, I've never done it like this, but I'm feeling led to do this, Pastor. I need 11 women. 11 women, please stand with me and go to one of these ladies right now. I need 11 women, sisters in the Lord, that'll go stand behind these sisters that are standing up. I need a lady behind a lady. I need 1, 2, 3, 4. I need 4 men that'll come stand with our men here today. I got one over here. I got one in the back, 2 in the back, 1 over here. I need 4 men real quickly. I need all the deacon board. I need all the deacon board to stand up, or the women board, or whatever. Hallelujah. We are our brothers and sisters' keeper, aren't we? Amen. I need one more lady right there. Oh, okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. All right. I want the rest of us to stretch your hands out towards these right here, right now. And I want us to pray this prayer right now. Would you pray this prayer with me, folks? Pray this prayer right now. You ready? Father in heaven, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for your Son, Jesus. Today, God, I realize that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Therefore, right now, I lay all my sins, all my past, at an empty altar below an empty cross. Jesus, I accept you. I rededicate my life to Jesus Christ in Jesus' name. Now, upon the authority of Jesus Christ, I rebuke you, Satan. I am a child of God. I am going to heaven, and I am going to take everyone with me in Jesus' name. Somebody praise the Lord. Give the Lord a praise offering today. There's some new names written down in glory. Aren't you glad your name is written down in glory today? Hallelujah. I want you to be back tonight. And we're going to work our way up to the upper room tonight. And Pastor and I have been praying for people to have a desire to seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And tonight we're going to the upper room. And then I want you to pray about being refilled with the Holy Ghost. We all need a refilling of the Holy Ghost from the pulpit to the pew. And so I want you to be serious about this. And the joy of the Lord, folks, is still our strength today. Amen. Pastor, this has been a different.
Amen. For those couple, welcome to the family. I don't know who you are, but I'd like to have you talk to me. That would be great. And we do have dinner here. I'm going to pray a prayer of dismissal, but also I'm going to open the altars also, because I know that there are people that would like to be prayed for. And I mentioned a couple that from our congregation that have requested prayer. So I just ask, if you want a fellowship, to take it outside, go down to the multi-purpose room, and you can fellowship down there. But whoever would like to stay here, we got some oil. We'd love to pray for you and anoint you with oil and believe God with you for whatever that need might be. So, Father, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you for your continued presence, Lord, as you are with us always. Ask your blessing upon the food and the fellowship. And down in our multi-purpose room. And also, Lord, ask for a powerful time of being in your presence for those who just want to stay here in this sanctuary and seek you and pray for others and intercede on their behalf. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if you